All right, this is Eric over here at SEO Book, and today I'm fortunate enough to be joined by Taylor Pratt and John Henshaw from Raven SEO Tools. Thanks for joining us today, guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Hey, good to see you.
All right, so we just have some questions here that I think our readers will appreciate, and some of our members have been interested to know about as well. So without further ado, I'll jump right in here. Obviously, you guys are essentially the creators of an all-in-one SEO tool set, which has kind of morphed into a web marketing tool set now with all the different things that you've added, and you certainly have a vested interest in being on the right side of forecasting the future of what will be important to search marketers here in the short and long term. And certainly there's a lot of changes going on at the moment, especially in the social area. So I'd just like to get your thoughts on where you guys see search going with respect to what's going to be important for us as search marketers to track, study, and report on to clients, things like rankings, analytics, social signals.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'll go first. This is John. And the you know, as you said, we kind of started out with just SEO, and over time we have become more of that full-fledged internet marketing suite, and I would say that was actually one of the first steps in sort of forecasting where things are going in the industry. And at first, while that was like our main focus, what we started to see was sort of the merging of all of these different practices under one roof. And so you saw a lot of people who just did SEO. You saw a lot of people who just did paid, and they started to do both. And then social kind of came into that mix. You know, that's the most recent thing. And so now you're seeing a lot of agencies doing all three. On top of that, they're doing email marketing, that type of thing. And so that was sort of our first step in saying SEO is not going to be enough. You know, what we think is going to happen is most of these companies doing these sort of individual components of marketing are going to be doing them all. So then the second thing, which is really what we're dealing with now, is so where is it going now? What is it that people need? And I would say, you know, we're just sticking to how we've approached it all along, which is we're basically talking to the people who are doing the work out there. We're talking to the agencies, the individuals, the experts, and we're asking them, what are your problems? Like, what are the problems that are still not being solved, you know, even just on the most practical level? And so we take that information and we look at what we built and we go, okay, so how can we solve that problem with Raven? And that contributes a whole lot to at least our own roadmap. Taylor might, you know, want to talk about more about, you know, sort of the future of things.
Yeah, you know, and building off of what John's saying, when it comes to figuring out what I should be studying and reporting on, I think we're seeing, especially like John said, with you know, social getting more into search, people having to turn to pay-per-click to get more data, you're having to study all disciplines of online marketing. You can't just make the right call just by looking at what you can see in your analytics from an SEO perspective. And so I think what we're seeing with people are that they're realizing, hey, I could be doing a lot better if I don't just look at my own stuff. I want to see, you know, what keywords are performing at the highest level on the pay-per-click side. I want to see what our audience is talking about, you know, on our fan page and on our Twitter account, so that I know what topics I should be writing about that's going to get the most engagement. And so I think we're moving towards a full landscape of online marketing services, and it's forcing SEOs to try and become more knowledgeable in those other fields as well. And as a result, you know, that's really what we were trying to do with Raven, which was bringing together all that data so that you can be looking at it easily. Maybe I don't actually have to do the work when it comes to pay-per-click, but I need to understand it and I need to know what I can take from that to improve my own SEO campaign. And so really when it comes to reporting and actually managing that process, we're needing people to be a lot more versatile in their skills. They can't just be focused on one niche anymore.
Right. Yeah. And those are all great points. I think too, you guys must run into, you know, I think you could probably take 10 people who are knowledgeable or successful with, you know, with SEO. They've been doing it for a while, and they probably get four or five different opinions on what exactly SEO is. You know, does it stop at, you know, rankings, or does it stop at, you know, rankings plus traffic plus conversions plus leveraging all the other data that you talked about? So that must be quite a challenge, because I'm sure you guys have experience in the industry, obviously, and talking with some of the folks you talk about, you must get a lot of different opinions on what exactly SEO is.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, you mentioned ranking, which has been traditionally sort of a core component of what people think of when they're doing SEO and what they're actually reporting on to their clients. And the thing is that what ranking was a few years ago it's not the same as it is today. And I think we know why, which is the search engines, particularly Google, it depends on who you are, if you're logged in with your account, where you are. Now obviously who you're connected with G+, and because of all those things, who knows what results you're going, who knows what the results are going to be that you're going to get. And so what's happening in sort of the rank checking world is it's getting really, just unpredictable. I mean, you don't know what you're going to get. You have people, one of the biggest frustrations that I know rank checkers have, and I know this because we used to check them ourselves, and now we of course use Authority Labs, but I think all of them have the difficulty of that customer saying, well, this isn't what I'm seeing, and so I think it's going to get worse and worse. And so I think what's changed with ranking is that ranking has become, or should be becoming, less important of a metric, and instead the focus should be on organic referrals, because that's really the most reliable thing that you can look at and report on. So in other words, if I were an agency or just even an individual SEO guy who was doing work for a customer, I would make the metric be, am I increasing your organic traffic, instead of where do I rank for your pet term, you know? And I think that's the biggest change. That's what I've seen over the past few years. There's still a lot of resistance to that, just because they don't want it to be true. But I think the reality is that rank checking is still going to be important, because it still gives you an indication of health and gives you some idea of sort of how you're performing, even if it's going to get to a point where it can never be 100% accurate. So it'll still play a role. We're still going to, keep having that data in our system. But the big factor is going to be actually what Google Analytics is providing, and what your or whatever stats package you use, and to be able to say that we increased your organic traffic by 100%, and on top of that, your conversions went up. I think that's becoming more important.
Right, yeah. Do you guys have any a plan? I know you do work with Authority Labs. Do they do a lot of stuff with their incorporating universal results that you guys can do? Because I know some of the software tools do that, and I definitely agree there. I think, especially on the agency side of things, you find that people tend to lead their value add with rankings, right? I mean, you can, and that's a big mistake. If anything, it's if you're going to have a conversation about rankings, you have to attach an element of conversion optimization to that too. You can't just leave it at the door.
And that's something that we're talking to Authority Labs with right now, and they actually do provide universal results with the data, and they're trying to update the API that we're using so we can actually present that. So as soon as we can present that, we're going to. And then on top of that, as far as where we're taking things in the future, we're going to be supporting the ability to edit your ranking results, the ability to import ranking results from other third parties. So we're working on that. It's not available right now, but that is something that we know people have been asking for quite a while.
Cool. Okay. We talk about all these things with how the sort of the element of ranking being less and less of a flagship metric to report. At least the clients aren't even on sites that SEOs might run themselves, affiliate sites or sites that are driven revenues driven by AdSense ads or something to that effect. But I think what a lot of people would be interested to know, and I love getting opinions on this from a bunch, people all across the industry, that if you were starting an SEO company today, how would you approach the key elements of the business? What are the core competencies that you think, not only that are effective, but I think there's sometimes there's a disconnect between what is actually what should be a core competency for an SEO firm, you know, link outreach, all these things. But some of those things are hard to quantify to a client. You know, we reached out to, you know, 400 sites and we obtained 2 links. Well, you know, that can be a bit difficult to report on. But, you know, with things like link outreach or just good old-fashioned PR, social development, community building, rankings, conversions, all those things, what would you promote to your clients as the value add that your agency or your company would bring to the table?
You know, if it were me back in my agency days, what we tried to focus on was, you know, we all say that we want to focus on conversions, but I think even getting more specific than that, having specific interaction goals for different aspects of your organic traffic. So what I'd probably do is talk about how we look at both branded and non-branded traffic and we separate them. I want to have specific goals for my branded traffic that I expect them to be able to complete if they came to us organically. And then from the non-branded standpoint, I want to be able to do the exact same thing. And building off of what we talked about earlier, I think going into those meetings now and telling them that, hey, you know, looking at releases like when Google announced, you know, the whole not provided thing, as an agency, I need to be prepared to say to my client, well, you know what? We have a workaround for that. We have a pay-per-click campaign that's going so we can still get the traffic inside the behind each keyword so we know which ones we should be focusing on the most. And I think presenting it to the client as you being able to adapt to the changing market and you not focusing just on one individual aspect is really going to be what shows them that they should be going with you over somebody else.
Right, yeah, and I think that's those are good points, because I think what and I see it too. Sometimes, you know, people are starting an agency. They look for things that they can, you know, like rankings is still such a big thing. And I know there was some press last year about how rankings are dead. I know John wrote a post kind of countering that. I did as well. I don't think that's the case either. But I think it seems like people are still, or in some cases, leading with, you know, rankings. But the problem is, you know, it takes X amount of months to get there for some terms, and then you find out that the traffic isn't there in the first place, really, if you're relying on keyword tools, you know. And I think it just seems like such a natural fit, like you said, with all the, you know, being able to just layer on those other services like pay-per-click and the organic stuff, and then all the stuff that goes with that, which is sort of the social development and the link outreach. So that's interesting, and I think because right now we have a lot of people, you know, that read this blog, and I think that in the community that are sort of run their own sites a little bit, and then you've got people who are doing some client work. It seems like maybe are you seeing more of an increase in folks who maybe in the past were just sort of individual SEOs that are now filtering over to taking on some more client stuff?
Yeah, you know, I can speak for myself personally. You know, I'm starting to take over Raven's pay-per-click work, and, you know, going into it, I knew enough just, you know, pretty much what any SEO would know about pay-per-click. I wouldn't know enough to run a campaign from start to finish, so starting to ramp up on that. And it's interesting that over the last couple months, really since Not Provided was released, I've been seeing a lot more articles around pay-per-click showing up on industry blogs. It's starting to get a lot more coverage, and I think people are starting to realize that, hey, I could pretty much get more concrete results out of my SEO program if I would just focus a little bit more time in these other areas. Because like you said, around, you know, figuring out that, hey, if I'm targeting one keyword in a couple months down the line, once I start ranking for it, I'm not getting the traffic I expected. Well, we could have identified that if we just ran, you know, a traditional test just to see. I mean, you can run pay-per-click tests without even getting clicks. I just want to see how many impressions I can get so I can estimate how much traffic I could potentially get if I was ranking for that keyword. So trying to get a better fit for or a better feel for those numbers, there's a lot that you could be doing with that.
Yeah, absolutely. The pay-per-click is like the best keyword tool. When you think of all the time you spend digging through the AdWords keyword tool and then digging through like a word tracker or other competitive research tools, if you took, you know, a few $100 and threw it at just for accidental clicks, right, and you just threw a pay-per-click campaign up with all you know, all the keywords you're looking at, you'd be much better off.
And I was going to throw out that, you know, and of course Google has done an excellent job of positioning that as one of your best options over time, you know, so.
Yeah, and they're certainly not shy about throwing out those coupons either.
They play me like a fiddle, that's for sure.
Yeah. I think the big thing, you know, in addition to all on the SEO side of things with all the stuff that Google's been doing and continues to do, especially with this with the plus one sort of approach, is the evolution of link building, you know, where a lot of times it's just been, you know, we have all these sort of these tactics that have been working for a long time that I think some folks still use but and can be effective. But I think if you're looking mid to long term on trying to build out, if you run your own sites or even client sites, you need to, it almost is evolving into a like a sales and PR type of role if you're looking to hire somebody to do that for your organization. Maybe it's, you know, do you think it's become a little bit less about pure link metrics like PageRank or some of the other stuff that's out there, like, you know, the MozRank, MozTrust, follow versus no follow, or somewhere in the middle? But I think it's definitely evolved towards being more of a relationship type approach and a PR type of approach. I'd be interested to hear what you have to say about that.
Yeah, I totally agree. If you look back on even the very early days of link building, it was basically build a link anywhere you can get it. I mean, it didn't even matter what site it was. It didn't matter where it was on the page. Then as that evolved, you know, Google evolved with that, it ended up becoming, well, you may not want it on the footer, or you may want it a different place, or you might want to have it on a relevant page. There are still many industries, many site types that I would say even up to today, because I still hear stories from some pretty hardcore people out there that are like, oh yeah, footer links are still, you know, well alive for my particular thing. But I think for the most part, for most people, you hit the nail on the head with it's about relationships. And so that's basically where, you know, we talk about predicting where things are going. Well, we're seeing it as it's already there, and it's only going to increase. As far as what's important in link building is going to be building relationships with site owners, with editors. It will also be extremely important to build relationships socially, so that you're connected with people who have some degree of influence socially. And so with that, you know, one of the things you said is, is it important to care about MozRank or PageRank or any of these other things? And I think it still is important. So, and the way I approach it, which I think is a, you know, fairly practical way, is it's important to have as many pieces of data and metrics as possible. It's the same reason why I think that rank checking will remain important to some extent. I think the same is true with these different metrics. It's not going to be, nor should it be, the main thing that you focus on. The main thing you should focus on, in my opinion, are relationships with people who are relevant to what you're trying to market. And that's where what you just mentioned a second ago, that's where PR comes in. It's very PR-like. So that's where I think it's going. That's what we're going to be focusing on. But we are going to continue to include those other metrics, just because I think they help you see the full picture. So that, for example, when you're doing research, trying to find sites or people that you want to connect with, that data really kind of helps round out your decision. Like, okay, this, all the things I'm kind of getting here and even what I'm just looking at and making a judgment on looks pretty good. I think I'm going to contact this person.
Yeah, and if, of course, that it's made it such a, it's almost like an acquired, like when I look for people that I might want to bring on board to do some link building for some sites, it's almost like you ignore to a degree SEO experience and what you're focusing on. Is this person salesy? Are they good at PR? I mean, those, you know, where before it was more of like a hunker down and look for all, you know, reverse engineer this and that and pull this report, but which is all still important, certainly.
Right.
But for those really premium type links that I think competition can't get, you really ought to have folks like that going forward.
And I think content, you know, should be thrown out there too, which is, and I don't mean as in if you write good content, you will rank, you know, type of thing, but more along the lines of, you know, one of the best link building, you know, outreach methods is guest blogging. And if you can present yourself in a way that is, one, not too salesy, but two, can really, really benefit that site, meaning you better have a good writer on staff or somebody that you've hired on a contract basis. It's altruistic in the sense of I can get you something really good. In fact, I'm going to go out of my way and I'm going to spend over, $15, on something. I might spend $100 or $200 to have a really good article put on somebody else's site with the idea that I'm going to have, a decent link to my site. It'll be on a relevant site. So that to me is a pretty important component. And that's something that we focused on too and are going to continue to focus on. So for example, we've automated some of it, which is you can go through TextBroker on Raven or, you can have your own writers and on staff or through contract, and then they can log in and they can save the articles they write in our content manager. So
yeah, definitely. Yeah, content. Yeah, absolutely. That's a great feature of Raven too. That the example that I give sometimes in the forums when people ask about creating how do we create this a piece of content that's time tested. Like I always give the example of David Mim who creates the local search ranking facts. If you can do something like that, for your industry, I mean, just think of things like that. In most industries, you can come up with something that the competition isn't doing, and then you just you almost don't have to significantly promoted after the first couple of times, right? It just people just naturally look for it. Definitely a big piece there. And I think, like I said before, we have a lot of folks inside the forums and that read the blog that are it's such a hybrid of people who, market their own sites and they monetize it in different ways. They've got clients and all these other things. We always talk about how creating your own product ultimately, it typically ends up being the most rewarding in the long run. Certainly other methods can significantly increase, your company's revenue or an individual webmaster's revenue. But when we talk about long-term things and not relying on affiliate networks or AdSense serving and things like that, we talk about products. And I think, Raven is a great case study in identifying, a particular market, the need of a market, creating the product, and then just marketing it. Because, I think sometimes people miss that it's such a multi-step approach. It's not just find a market and, exploit it with a great product. It's you have to, there's another piece to it, which is the marketing, which I think Raven does an excellent job on. And so what I would like to hear from you guys is, can you give us some insight into how you sort of went from thinking about Raven to developing it, to marketing it, and keep improving on it, because that's the other piece too. It's not just create a product and dump it in the market and hope people buy it and never touch it again. Just some of the bigger or biggest hurdles you face, pitfalls, and best practices.
I can talk from a marketing standpoint at Raven, since that's what my role is here. And I know I joined Raven about 2 years ago, and We had a pretty good idea of how we wanted to actually end up marketing the product. And, the first year that I was here, what we wanted to focus on was really cementing ourselves as a tool in the SEO industry. We wanted to let everyone know that these were powerful tools. They were things that they could rely on. And we wanted to be known as, an authority in that market. And last year, what we really spent our time doing was focusing on becoming more of a workflow and collaboration tool. While we had these features before, we needed to make it known that, hey, if you work with a team, if you want to collaborate on projects with your clients, or you have a couple of contractors that you're outsourcing stuff to, this is a tool that will make that easier. And so that's really, our 2011 messaging was really focusing heavily on that. But now, what we run into is, well, Raven does more than just SEO. We have social media tools, pay-per-click tools, email is integrated into there. So how do we now market to everyone and convince them that we're not just Raven SEO tools, we're Raven internet marketing tools? And I think that's really what our focus is going to be in 2012, is showing them that, one, you need to have a tool set that is flexible in all of those different areas, and two, that Raven actually fits those needs. We're not just SEO tools anymore.
Mm-hmm. I think from a product standpoint, we really started off working with other agencies, and in fact we launched it and then took it back offline in a sense into like a very private beta for about 6 to 9 months, and we worked just side by side with several agencies, some in the US and some in the UK, and they really helped us refine how the link manager should work and the type of things that need to be reported on, and then from there it was just
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I think we lost him.
Oh, no. All right, let's wait for him to sign back on here. So, just to continue talking about the marketing side of things a little bit, do you find that it's, you know, once you've, when you start the marketing initially, you know, it seems like that's a good bit of work, but it also seems like on the other end, it's almost just as much work after you sort of establish yourself in the industry. You've got to keep, you know, you got to keep pushing and going to all these different events and all these other things.
And thing I won't say, you know, because it's a competitive event, I have some secrets, you know. And so, you know, while Taylor and the marketing team, you know, it's their job to really let people understand what the product does. It's our job, at least on the product side, to figure out, is the product solving the problems that need to be solved in the market? And so if we're trying to approach SEO and social and PPC and other areas, are we making, you know, if they use our software, are we making it harder for them or are we making it easier for them? And of course, we want to make it so that it's a no-brainer. It's by them simply using it and putting their team members on there, they're saving money. Not only are they saving money, they're managing their data better, and they're able to report the information easier to themselves or to their client. And so that's sort of a high level, you know, example of, you know, without a whole lot of details. But that's really what we're focused on, is how can we make this easier? How can, at the same time, how can we make it more robust and do all the things that people need it to do? How can we solve problems that are not being solved by anybody on the market right now? And that's really what we're focused on. And of course, all that includes trying to absorb all of the different feature requests, which also gives us an idea of what people really need. It's not just, we don't have to sit there and guess or dream up something on our own, you know, in a bubble. The feature requests are something that are extremely helpful, and we have a lot of them. We have people who use the system intensely and every day, and they come up with some pretty amazing ideas. So,
I think we cut out there a little bit after the beta discussion, but I think the gist of it is when people talk about creating products, it's so much more involved than just develop, market, and sell, right? I mean, and I think we're aware of that, but I think when people hear the 6 to 9 months that you took it in beta and you were working with these other agencies, I think sometimes that's the point that gets missed, because you look at Raven and it's like, it's such a, the interface is so clean, it's so easy to use that people think, wow, that's pretty simple, right? I mean, that's the whole, I think it's probably what Basecamp competitors have been thinking for such a long time. So simple and easy, I can do that, right? And then they try
I would say our biggest problem, and the one that we're looking to solve this year, is while you are somebody who knows exactly what you're doing, you know, and when you get in there, you know how to use the system. You're like, oh, that's simple. This does, you know, I understand the terminology and what's going on here. It's not for the novice, and so it's funny because there's that weird dichotomy there, and so you have somebody else that comes in and says, this is the most complicated thing I've ever seen in my life. I mean, we, you know, and that's some of the cancellation messages we get. It's like, yeah, what are you trying to do?
Yeah.
And so one of our big initiatives this year is to you know, put education in place for those people, and also for teams. We have a lot of agencies that are wanting the ability to say, hey, I really love what you're doing here. I get it. I want my team to be on here, but I need training. And so those are things that we're working on. And then the other thing on the product side is incorporating more contextual help. And so we've started to slowly roll out what we're calling the help box. And so it's the first time you've ever been to a tool in the system. You actually see this help box that pushes down everything else, and it gives you a brief description, gives you a really quick screencast of what the tool does, and then also links you out to the knowledge base. So those are things that, you know, as we grow and we sit back and kind of go, okay, where are we losing people? Where are they getting confused? We know that that's something that we really have to work on.
And there's an overlap with that with marketing too. I mean, we need to be teaching people how to use the tools. You know, we're trying to do that more on the blog. You know, we always had that stance of we're not going to, you know, tell you how to do your job, but we need to show you the benefits of using Raven when you are doing your job. And so, like John said, that education, I think, is really going to be helpful for users who are still trying to figure out, all right, well, what's the logic behind this? You know, why is it important that these two tools are working together? And we're trying to show that both within the tool itself and then outside too. So if you are just, you know, trying to evaluate it, or you are looking for a tool and you're not sure if Raven does that, hopefully we'll be able to demonstrate that, you know, through our blog posts, our training webinars, what have you.
Mm-hmm. And so for 2012, are there any, you know, of course, you know, I'm sure no competitors are listening, so feel free to just lay it all out there. What 2012, any product teases we can get? Anything you think you might be interested in?
I'll tell you a few things that I've publicly talked about, and then I'll hint towards one thing, and then there are still several big things that I will not give a clue to that we're working on.
Fair enough.
And I will say also, if you go to our blog, I think maybe in January or maybe December, I wrote an open letter to Raven customers, and there's a really good rundown of all the things we did in 2011, and it's huge. I was actually shocked when I wrote it. I was like, I had no idea we did all this. It was a good year. But the things we're going to be doing in 2012, I'm very confident it's going to be a bigger year than 2011. And the other thing that's makes me confident about that is we've been ramping up on developers. I mean, we are truly a software company now, I'm pretty sure we just had two developers start yesterday. I haven't even seen them yet. But it's something that we're getting even more aggressive on. So I'm excited about that. The things that I can easily tell you about that we're going to be working on releasing soon is we have another major social update coming down the pipeline. So when we launched our social stream, real-time social stream, social monitoring, it didn't have everything I wanted, but we did want to release it by PubCon. So we have sort of finishing up some really awesome features that didn't quite make it in November. Will be coming out pretty soon. We're actively working on the Chrome toolbar that got delayed for several months, but that is back on schedule. But you're going to see a lot of improvements in the social area, particularly with Facebook and Twitter and the stream. We're going to be doing more improvements on our AdWords management tool. So see a lot of nice new things coming down there. We should be adding G+ and LinkedIn this year, probably the first half of the year. And we're also working on the ranking result importing, which I mentioned earlier in the interview. So those are the things that are more public. The one hint, the one thing I will throw out there, just because it's really relevant to the conversation we've been having, is we are focusing on relationships in a way that we haven't done in the system before. So there's going to be something exciting coming down the pipeline in regards to that, as far as helping people who do link building outreach and other areas. So that's coming. I expect it in the first half of this year, and that's something I'm really excited about. So.
Yeah, that's definitely sounds like an interesting. I'll be watching for that. Well, I'm sure you guys. Sounds like you got a lot to do, so I won't keep you much longer. I just want to take a moment and thank you guys for hopping on today. We'll get this up on the blog here. We'll put it MP3 format so people can listen to it whenever they want. We'll get all the text up there. For all you listening out there, certainly give Raven a shot. I think you guys are still running 30-day trials, right?
Oh yeah.
And it definitely, you know, work with it a little bit. I've gone back and forth. I think a lot of folks maybe who are used to using software and things like that, it might take an adjustment or two. But I can personally, let folks listening know that I'm gonna put a lot more of my stuff in there. I just think it really just cuts down on a lot of the manual work and all these crazy spreadsheets. My Dropbox is exploding, and it's insane. But definitely work with it. Give it a shot. It's going to be new, especially to folks, I think, that do a lot of stuff that I might be doing with the software and stuff. But it'll make your life a lot easier, and the reporting is unreal. So certainly give it a shot. And thanks to John and Taylor for hopping on with us today.
Thanks for having us.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right, you too. Bye.